Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Godawari Power & Ispat Limited Q1 FY26 conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Lahoti. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Nidhi. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Q1 FY26 earnings call of Godawari Power. We have with us today Mr. Abhishek Agrawal, Mr. Dinesh Gandhi, and Mr. Sanjay Bothra. I thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. I shall now hand over to the management for opening remarks. Over to you, Mr. Gandhi.
Thank you very much, Amit. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you all to the conference call to discuss Q1 FY26 earnings result of Godawari Power & Ispat Limited. Our financial results, press release, and earnings presentation are available on our website as well as on the uploaded on stock exchanges. I believe you had a chance to review the same. I'll quickly take you through the results, after which we'll have a question-and-answer session. We have had a steady start to the year with a strong EBITDA and PAT margin of 24% and 16%, respectively. Our operational performance, GPL, has already achieved on an average 20%-25% of FY26 volume guidance. We are confident that the volume guidance given by us at the beginning of the year will be achieved on a full-year basis. Production volume of pellet and value-added products largely remained flat quarter on quarter. Kerala's production and sales volume increased by about 15% and 13% YOY and QOQ. Realization of almost all products were flat except galvanized products. And therefore, you can see the profitability and sales turnover more or less on the flat side. On coming on the financial results, on QOQ basis, consolidated revenue, EBITDA, and PAT remained largely stable despite falling iron ore mining production due to delay in mining plan approval for Boriatibu mines. On YOY basis, performance was lower primarily due to decline in sales realization. The EBITDA and PAT margin stood at 24% and 16%, respectively. The performance of Jammu Pigments, the recycling unit of GPIL, was stable during the quarter. JPL achieved a consolidated revenue from operations at 230 crore and EBITDA of 20 crore. I would like to now give you a few strategic updates and operational developments. I'm pleased to announce that in line with our growth strategy and diversification strategy, the board has approved total CapEx of 1,600 crore for two new projects, the first being a 900 crore investment in setting up a 0.7 million ton cold rolling mill complex, which will enable the company to convert HRC into CRC and manufacture the other value-added products like color-coated steel, zinc, aluminum, magnesium steel that is called GEM, galvalume products. These are all value-added margin-accretive products which will get added to our portfolio. The project cost includes the pre-operative expenditure margin for working capital. The project will be funded through a debt of 600 crore and equity of 300 crore through the internal accrual. The estimated timeline for commissioning of this project is Q1 FY28. That is March 27. Not Q1 FY28, March 27. Additionally, a 10-gigawatt battery energy storage system project is proposed at a cost of 700 crore to manufacture battery pack and container manufacturing line. The project will be set up in Maharashtra at Vidkin near Chhatrapati Sambhaji Nagar in a 100% subsidiary called Godawari New Energy Private Limited. The company has applied to the Government of Maharashtra for allotment of land for the said project under the Package Scheme of Incentive Policy 2019. which will entitle the company for various incentives like state GST, capital investment subsidy, power subsidy at a concessional rate, and subject to compliance of certain terms and conditions. The technology for manufacture of container and tank with lithium ion cells required for the project will be imported from China. Company is in discussion with few Chinese manufacturers for supply of technology and cell for the project. Part of raw material required for manufacture of container will be supplied from our proposed CRM project, which will supply the raw material required for the container, that is steel required for the container. The project will be funded by an equity investment of 40% from GPI, and balance will be raised by the debt in the SPV. The expected timeline for commissioning this project is also March 27. Further, to update you on ongoing CAPEX plan, we expect to receive all necessary approval for Ari Dongri mining capacity expansion from 2.35 to 6 million ton by Q3 FY26 and start operation in Q4. Pellet expansion of 2 million ton is going on schedule, and we expect to commission the same in the month of October. The operations at Boriatibo mines have resumed after getting the approval for updated mining plan for Indian Bureau of Mines. I would also like to mention that GPL has received an approval from PGCIL to supply steel billet to the manufacturers of galvanized steel structure for transmission project. This is a significant milestone that reflects the superior quality of our product comparable to those of India's leading steel producers. Previously, dependence on the high-cost market source product, that is steel billets and roll product, restricted our offering in the segment. With integrated steel production now in place, GPL can deliver comprehensive and cost-effective product portfolio, driving both volume and margin expansion. Notably, GPL is the only company in India producing galvanized steel structures end-to-end from iron ore. GPL has also received approval of MOEF during the quarter for setting up 2 million ton greenfield integrated steel project. Coming on the market outlook, on international front, global iron ore prices have remained within a range of $95 to $105 per ton so far this year, currently hovering at around $100. The first half of the year was supported by weather-related production losses. Second half will see increased supply and might put some pressure on the iron ore prices. The recent geopolitical tension continues to weigh on the global demand and supply dynamics. In response, China has been providing stimulus to boost household consumption, and for the first time resorted to direct transfer of cash to promote population growth. This argues well for supporting demand. On domestic front, iron ore prices, NMDC, largely been remained range-bound between 4,500 to 5,500. Rising domestic steel prices and stronger demand supported by implementation of safeguard duties continues to support prices. Iron ore pellet prices have followed the same trend and has traded in a narrow band of 8,500 to 10,000 rupees a ton during the quarter, with current level at around 9,500 to 10,000 rupees a ton. India steel output rose 9.2% YOY in January to June 25, making it stand out in a weak global environment. Amid sluggish demand steel landscape, India stands out as a rare bright spot driven by robust growth in infrastructure and construction, and this growth momentum is expected to continue in coming quarters. With this, I rest my opening remarks. We can now open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vikas Singh from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
I can't hear anything.
As there
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon, sir. So my first question pertains to your BESS business. Basically, I was surprised. In the past, we have entered into solar thermal business as well and later on exited. So what actually
Right.
prompted this and what kind of, you know, the returns this business can generate us over a longer period of time?
Okay, so good morning to all of you. So, you know, the idea to diversify into this BESS project is, so just to give you a history, I don't know how much you know about the BESS project. So the idea is, you know, all the solar generating states in India, especially states like Maharashtra, Gujarat, Rajasthan, where the solar capacity is quite high, you know, during the daytime, there is peak generation, and by the evening, 5 o'clock, the generation becomes zero. So what is happening is the grid is getting very, very unstable for these states, and it's becoming a challenge at the national level, I think, in terms of maintaining the grid. So if you see all the tenders which are coming out in the market now, you know, by the SECI or even the state DISCOMs of these states, all tenders are now with so much megawatt capacity of solar. For example, 100 megawatt solar and 200 megawatt hours of battery storage, which basically means for 2 hours, 200 megawatts of solar power can be generated from the battery stored, right? And that the government or DISCOMs will use to inject in the grid during the peak hour, which is from evening 6 to say 10, 11, as per their convenience and requirement. So the way this entire field is coming up into India is such a rapid pace because this is something which is necessary now. All DISCOM need to go ahead with, you know, all these qualifications to generate solar power. In month of August only, 8 gigawatts of tender is going to be out by SECI and state DISCOMs. So what is happening right now is the entire container, which basically is a 5 megawatt container, is being imported into India from China at a 10-11% duty. And for the tenders, the people who are being winning the tenders, these people are importing and supplying and, you know, fulfilling the norms. The idea is to generate the domestic capacity. We want to enter into this. First phase is we won't be, you know, getting into cells, which basically requires 70% of the CapEx of the entire industry. We will import cells, which is a 5% duty, and we will do battery packs and then put the battery packs into containers with all automation done and deliver to the consumer. This is the whole idea. To tap this market, we definitely feel, to give a number, today the market rate for import is about 3.2 crores for a 5 megawatt container. So if you consider minimum, you know, even a 5% EBITDA level for our operations, so which is about 20 lakh, 15 lakh rupees per megawatt, and when you apply with the capacity, we are installing 10 gigawatts. So the ROI is very handsome. You know, the ROI is hardly 18 to 24 months. So we do feel new energy is, you know, the way to go ahead in India, and that is where we want to enter this project. Steel will remain the core part of Godavari, and we will expand into steel, as you know, we have been discussing on the same platform earlier as well. This is the whole idea to enter into BESS. You are very right. We did enter into the solar thing 10 years, 15 years back. Unfortunately, that didn't pay a lot of dividends. We do realize that. But this is a very well-thought, well-explored decision we have taken, because I think it's time where, you know, Godavari does enter into next phase of growth. It's been 3 years. Our volumes have been very constant. Finally, approvals are getting in place. We found this opportunity. We know we'll be the first movers. If you don't do it now, then probably if you think of doing it 5 years later, 4 years later, we might be late. The whole idea is to keep the balance sheet healthy and diversify when there's opportunity given. So that's the whole idea behind this. Know the rationale.
Noted, sir. In solar thermal also, we were the first mover. But fine. Sir, in terms of our steel plant CapEx, basically, we got the environmental clearance, I believe. So if you could
Yes.
just give us some insight that if the composition or the total tonnage which we are looking has been changed with respect to the CapEx plant, if you could give us some more insight how that is panning out.
See, we have received the EC for 2 million, but as discussed earlier also, you know, shared with all of you, we will be going with the 1 million steel plant at the moment. That's the whole plan is. We are still working on the final optics, and hopefully we should be able to, you know, go for the approval in the next board meeting. The idea, to be honest, is we want to announce the steel CapEx along with capacity is when we get the mining EC, which we hope we will get by end of October, early November. The whole idea is entire Godavari's profit is now hinges on the new mining capacity. The pellet plant will also get commissioned. So we want to make sure once we have the mining EC, then only we move ahead with any kind of investment into steel. Because the capex will be on the higher side because it's a 1 million steel. So the idea is to wait for the mining EC and then probably go ahead matching into steel further.
Noted, sir. So just lastly, one small question. We have been waiting for public hearing for our mining expansion quite some time. So what are actually delaying this?
So just to update you, nothing is being delayed. So this week we will get the IBM approval for the revised mining plan. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks. So this week we'll get the IBM approval plan, basis which the state government now will take out a notice for public hearing. It's a 30-day notice. So public hearing should happen in the month of September, post 15 September. So once public hearing happens in September, public meeting record will be submitted to the State Coalition Board and a final presentation happen. So if everything goes well, we are confident post Diwali, early November, we should get the EC. So there's no delay. Just like the process is so long, it takes time. Mining plan has been approved by the IBM. It will be approved this week. Revised mining plan for 6 million. So it is on track. I do understand there has been a lot of delays, but sometimes, things are not in control. The process is such.
Noted, sir. Thank you and all the best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from BSP Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Sir, good afternoon and thanks for the call. I had three questions. One, in terms of peak leverage, as you do your capex plans, you've been a debt-free company lately, so what would be the peak leverage? Two, the when you set up the CRM complex, you'll be buying, I imagine, a hot roll coils from the market. Isn't that a very low margin business, or is it linked to your integrated steel plant plans? And three, on the battery storage, which the prior questions also came, is the technology flat, or are you going to have any technological collaboration? These are my three questions, sir.
Okay, just to answer you the first question. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, very well.
See, for the current capex we announced, it's a 40-60 ratio, and with the current balance sheet and the cash reserves, the leverage will be very minimum, hardly below 0.5 at the moment, with the current capex plan announced. Once going forward, once we get the mining DC and if we go ahead with the steel project and announce that, then probably that might change depending on the situation. So at the moment, with the current capex announced, we will be taking a small depth of, say 700 crores. So it's well within the 1:1 ratio. Second question was on the your best project side. Can you come again with the question? I just missed it.
It was on the cold roll mill.
If you do understand, we worked back and forth from last 3 years where we wanted to put a 2 million hot strip mill, basically for producing HR coils, right? But the new model in India, which has become a standard by the bigger players, it is a 5 million single mill with a 6 million, integrated capacity. So with so much of HR coil coming into India, plus imports also happening, right, in spite of the safeguard duty, we feel HR, the premium which, sellers were getting for HR coil earlier is not the same anymore, HR coil has become more of a commodity. So the idea is to further integrate, buy HR coil from the market, do value addition in the form of, the CRM complex, where we'll be doing the color-coated lines, the printing lines, and also the jam. Jam is basically a combination of zinc, aluminium and magnesia, right? This is quite, quite hot, like a hot cake in China. In India, it has just started coming in. So the idea is to make value-added steel. And in a worst-case scenario, even if we be very conservative with all our product portfolio, I think bigger 4 to 5 rupees a ton is what we're looking at in the longer-term basis for a 0.7 million capacity. So the idea is to get into value-added steel and tap that market. This one, and the third question is regarding the BESS. So the idea is we are right now open for collaborations in terms of technology. We are open collaboration in terms of supply. And we're also open in terms of where the first phase, we pick and choose the best suppliers, start with the first phase. And as technology, because see, this is a very technology-driven industry. technology will keep evolving, you know, keep changing. So we have to move with everyone. So going forward, we're also open. If the technology changes, there's a collaboration happening with a good reputed supplier, technology supplier, we can always go ahead. Nothing is fixed at the moment, but we are very much open in terms of any kind of collaboration going forward.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much and wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Gadekar from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. First, on the cold rolling mill, so can you help us understand the configuration that we are looking at and what kind of CIC that we would be producing from this asset?
See, so basically, we'll be buying the full 250 meters width. We're going to be doing pickling. Then the cold rolling mill, there are two, three different products. One is the color coated, one is the printing line, and one is the color coated with jam line, which gives you better strength and more life. So basically, the entire 0.7 million of input, will be distributed into three different products of different thicknesses. So we are targeting from a 0.15 thickness to as high as 3.5 mm thickness. So we want to, cater all different segments so that, our volume is not concentrated in only one product. We want to distribute into different products. So color-coated lines, jam, galvanium, then also HRPO, which is, pickled and sell HR coil. So that's the whole idea. Plus, the container, the box, which is made out of steel, that particular container steel will also be produced in the CRM complex. So it's indirect backward integration of one of our important suppliers. Container's raw material is HR coil only. HR coil, pickle, and then, cold drawn.
So now, in terms of sourcing the HR coil, where are we targeting to source the HR coil from, one? And secondly, in terms of selling the cold CRC, what are the markets we are targeting?
See, for sourcing, right, being the location we are sitting in right now, Raipur, so, there is Bhushan, so basically there's JSW, Jatupura, then there is Tata Angul, JHPL Angul. So we have multiple options, Tata, Jamshedpura, Kalinganagar. So in terms of sourcing, there are a lot of options. It all depends. And NBC is there in Chhattisgarh, they started making HR coils. So we have a lot of, plus, of course, imports. So sourcing is not an issue. Everybody is a seller of HR coils because the volumes they have created for themselves is so huge. And they haven't, put up lines to convert every HR into CR. So there will always be a seller of HR coil in the market. So that is the sourcing part. In terms of finished product, see, we are not very, restricted to, we want to sell in this only area, depending on demand and supply, because we are not the only producers in this market. There are other players, established players from before on. So it all depends, how you brand it, in terms of quality and which market you want to target. So once we start making it, that can depend on demand and supply. So idea is to focus entire India. We're not thinking about focusing on XYZ and then not do that. The main mill is from John Cockerill, which is a Belgian mill company. Then SMS, which is again a German company. So it's a mixed match. So depending on the critical side of the operations, we have gone with the best supplier. So some are European, some are domestically, supplying some things from China as well. So it's a mixed match. But we ensure there is no compromise in quality so that, best things are procured from the best suppliers. We've ensured that.
So lastly, when would we be doing the ordering for this equipment?
See, now we've got the board approval. So now we will move ahead with the, fine-tuning the entire proposal. And probably, I think by end of this quarter, we should be in a position to place the orders. And post Diwali, once monsoon gets over, the idea is to start the civil work in November for both the projects.
And so where will we be putting up this plant? It will be the same location where the steel plant was supposed to come up?
Yes. So CR complex is already the part of EC for the new, which we have received for 2 million. So it will be on the new, it will be in the new location along with the steel complex.
So secondly, on the battery storage, there also we have done any ordering or we will be looking
no.
to the ordering?
No, we haven't because, we had to take the board approval, which we received yesterday only. Now, since we have a go-ahead from the board, so now we have done our working, we have done our homework. Now, you know, we need to finalize things, fit with the suppliers and fine-tune things. So as I said, that might take a couple of months, and the idea is to eventually start the groundwork in November for that project as well, the battery project.
So last question on the steel plants, when are we looking to target the steel, 1 million ton steel plant, or that is some time away as of now?
No, it's not away. To be honest, we are very close to finalizing our CapEx, you know, last bit of remaining thing. But the idea is because the steel plant CapEx will be on, you know, substantially higher side compared to, you know, these two ones. So we want to move ahead only when, you know, we get the approval mining agency. Because today's Godavari's entire profit, you know, going forward, which is to deploy it, depends on the mining EC, because our new pellet plant will also be commissioned in a couple of months. So we are waiting for the mining EC to be received. Once that is received, we will take appropriate approval from the board and then, you know, declare to stock exchange. That's the whole idea.
And lastly, we will be targeting long steel in this or flat steel now?
No, we are not looking into flat. Basically, we are looking into long steel. Basically, we're looking to value-added steel, which is structures primarily that we're working on. So basically, we want to produce. If you see right now, we just got approval from PGCIL supply. So the idea is to, you know, have an entire basket of, you know, products where they can cater from, you know, transmission lines, railways, infrastructure. We want to produce higher category beams, you know, 600, 800, 1000 size beams, which are primarily used for infrastructure projects. So the idea is to enter into, you know, value-added steel now and move away from commercial steel.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manav Gogia from YES Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. So, one question I had, you know, we are probably also nearing the greenfield steel plant coming up, and along with this 1,600 crores of CapEx that you have announced, can you give me the CapEx outline for the next couple of years, and how do you see the debt part going up, especially if the steel plant kicks in? Do we intend to take on more debt for the greenfield steel plant?
See, the idea is, for this year, for FY 2023, which is running, we have certain ongoing projects, which will be, you know, completed in this year as well. For the next year, which we've already announced, we need to do a CapEx of 1,600 crores, out of which about 900 will be, you know, taken on the books and the remaining will be invested. So we are doing about, you know, 100,000 crores of free cash every year. So you can assume ki, whatever we generate next year, that will be utilized in the two projects, you know, which have we already declared to all of you. For the steel CapEx, as I mentioned again, it will be only moving ahead after the mining approval. So, you know, if you see once the mining approval is received, and when you pellet plant getting commissioned, so our free cash drastically goes up, you know, from FY 2027 because of additional volumes coming in from a pellet and as well as. So if you take that into consideration for FY 2027 and FY 2028, we should do about a free cash of, you know, minimum 3,000 crores, basis the mining approval. So if we're able to do that, and assuming a steel plant CapEx of, say, you know, 4,500-5,000 crores, so we'll be much below, you know, 1:1, debt equity ratio. So the numbers are very well worked out. We have defined the timeline of which CapEx, how the money has to be deployed, and this is that, we will be going ahead.
Sure, sir. And so the steel CapEx, do I assume that, you know, it should be peaking out more during FY 2028 rather than FY 2027? Is that the logic used?
So if you see, if you want to break it up, so probably you can say 20% in FY 2027, and probably say 60% in FY 2028, and then probably last remaining 20% in FY 2029. Because ordering requires only 10% advance, but then as the project progresses, right, supply starts, that is where, you know, the major deployment of cash will happen. So FY 2027 will be, say, 15-20%. Maximum will happen in FY 2028.
Sure, got it.
When the supply starts.
My other-
Yeah.
Got it. My other question is, you know, on the company's diversification policy, which we are currently into with the battery storage plant.
Right.
How do we, you know, basically study these projects going ahead? And do we see more such projects on the diversification side from steel coming up in the next couple of years, apart from-
No. See, to be honest, if you talk about the diversification strategy, so, we are of the opinion, today with all this Make in India concept, right? So we were, you know, we have been looking for different business opportunities from last 2 years, where either a lot of imports happening into India, you know, so you can create a domestic capacity, which the government also wants, or you enter into a new energy, because energy is something which is here to stay, be it on the solar side, on the renewable side. And of course, the best is the latest addition to that basket, I would say. So the idea is we feel energy is going to be, you know, a cash cow for all the Indian businesses, because the way India's demand is going up, accordingly, challenge is also feeding up in the market, right? For example, grid stability is happening. A few states are running short of power. So we always wanted to focus on energy side. We found this very lucrative. We have done our homework from last 6 months, and that is why we are going with it. So we not say we want to keep diversifying, but if there's an opportunity present going forward also, we won't mind taking that route.
Got it.
But just to ensure, we will ensure, somebody also mentioned, you know, in the first call, what we have done earlier, we do understand that, and we have, you know, realized that, and accordingly, we'll make sure we are never over-leveraged, and we don't run tight on, you know, when the market turns around, so we're not running tight on cash. We will ensure that. That is the whole idea.
Got it. Got it, sir. And sir, you know, just an add-on with the subsidiary that we have for new energy now.
Yeah.
Do we intend to remain only an assembler or probably evolve into a full-stack energy storage company, you know, down the line, 5-6 years, if that is a focal point going forward?
You know, since the whole idea, you know, how we picked up this was, if you see the solar industry in India, right? 10 years back, it was hardly peanuts. There were hardly a few players. But post-COVID, there has been a, you know, I would say a rat race when it comes to, you know, investment into solar modules capacity, right? India is adding up about 30 gigawatts of, you know, renewable every year, with the target to go up to 50, 70, 100 megawatts every year, right? 100 gigawatts. So the way solar industry evolved into India was at a very slow pace. So initially, they put a 40% tax on solar modules. That's how a lot of people invested into making solar modules in India. Now, the government has come up with ALMM for solar cells, which is a key component for solar modules. So from 1st July 2026, Indian manufacturers cannot import cells. They have to manufacture into India. So now, all companies are investing heavily into solar cells, because solar cells require a huge CapEx, right? Similar way, we feel, BESS is just picked up into India. Right now, a lot of imports are happening. Slowly and slowly, the way we are getting to manufacturing, others will also do. So once renewable capacity comes into India, government policy will come such a way that they will put duties, they will restrict imports into India, and, you know, make this business more lucrative. So we are taking a, you know, a cue from the solar module space, and we feel the way it's progressing right now, similar things should happen in this category as well. That's the whole idea. So the idea is to put 10 gigawatts first phase, then ramp up, you know, to a few more gigawatts. And when we feel there is support of policies, we will also enter into solar cell manufacture, sorry, this battery cell manufacturing. And we are also open for collaboration for tech transfer. So the idea is, it is a long-term idea, it's not a short-term idea. Say 5 years, 7 years down the line idea.
Got it. Got it. So just one last question, you know, that the battery storage unit is going to be somewhere in Maharashtra, whereas.
Right, or in the Sambhaji Nagar industrial area. It's called AURIC. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Got it. So the battery storage unit is going to be in Maharashtra, whereas the CRM unit is going to be in the state of Chhattisgarh in Raipur.
Right.
How do we, you know, look at the logistics of supplying the CRM towards container manufacturing in Maharashtra?
So, no, so I don't mean, so if you see distance-wise, Aurangabad to Raipur is hardly, you know, 5-10 kilometers. So by road, by rack, if rack is available, we can sell the. Basically, we'll be selling the raw material, you know, processed raw material. Eventually, assembly of containers will happen in that Maharashtra factory only. So only the coils in different shapes will be sending from Raipur. So we don't face challenge of logistics. And we've already accounted that in terms of the raw material price for making containers.
Got it. Got it. And what would be the captive requirements? I mean, I'm assuming you'll be making around about 2,000 units of these containers, right? If you assume a 5 megawatt capacity per container.
See, we'll be doing about 6 containers every day. So you can easily consider 6 into, you know, 320 days of working. So around about, yeah. So 2,000 containers is right, what you estimated. Perfectly fine.
Sure. Sure. Got it.
The idea is 6 containers every day to achieve a capacity of 10 gigawatts.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. I'll hand back to you.
This call is no longer being recorded.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, roughly any understanding as to how much of the current demand for this BESS is imported?
See, right now, if you see, just for information, in August month only, there are 8 gigawatts of tenders out in the market by the state DISCOMs and the NTPC and other SECI. So if you say 8 gigawatt, which is 8,000 divided by 5, you know, 5. So roughly about 1,600 containers is required, is up for bidding in month of August only. And this figure will keep going up every month on month. You know, if you can, you know, follow subscriptions like Renewable Watch, you know, you'll find every day there are 10 tenders, 20 tenders being uploaded in the system for bidding. And everything is in import. Right now, one facility of 1 gigawatt is being commissioned in Pune and 2 gigawatt has been commissioned in near Bombay, right? Other companies like, for example, Tata has done a 100 megawatt battery storage in Chhattisgarh, Rajangaon, where they have tied up with a company called Goshan, which is again in China. So they have supplied the containers to Tata and they have won the tender and installed 100 megawatt hour battery storage. So now close to more than 99% is being imported into India with a certain duty. Duty on sales is 50% of that. So, you know, if you consider everything, you know, put zero, whatever we manufacture and the way we sell it, you know, saving 5% of duty itself will give you a, you know, a margin of 15 20 lakh rupees per megawatt. That is the whole idea. You know, we are being so conservative. So the demand is going to keep going up month on month.
So you're saying roughly 80-90% of the demand has been imported for this product?
More than 95%. More than rather 98% right now. Now India people have finally, you know, somebody's done a tie-up, somebody started doing, you know, retrofit, somebody is doing, you know, pick and choose. I take it from here, I take it from there. And now they're entering into investment into battery. So probably somebody will do container, somebody will do only battery packs. But nobody is entering into cell right now. So cell is where your 80-70% capex is required for the entire supply chain.
Right, right. And roughly, what kind of margins do you expect to make over your margins and ROCs?
So, see, today the roughly value of one container being imported into India is about 3.25 crores. So, which is about 3.25 divided by 5. Comes to about 65 lakh rupees per megawatt hour. So, assuming, you know, we do a minimum margin of, you know, bare minimum margin of 5% only, right, on a 3.25 crore. So, it comes to about, you know, 15 lakh rupees. So when you multiply that with 10 gigawatt, which is almost 1,000 megawatts, the numbers are as good as 350 crores, 400 crores at 10 gigawatt capacity. So we're looking at ROI more than, you know, 40-50% at an investment of 700 crores, which includes the one-time land cost, my intra cost, also including my working capital. So the machine investment is only about 250 crores, machine and shed. Remaining is the working capital, because cells have to be imported, so working capital is going to be on the higher side. Plus, one-time cost of the land which will be given to us, one-time cost of the infra, you know, fulfilling their conditions of land, you know, power connection and all those other things. When you do a 20 gigawatt, probably say we will do another 10, so the capex will be less than 50% of what we're doing right now.
Right, right. So, I just wanted to, I mean, I understand the whole story and the whole, you know, the attraction about the whole demand scenario. But then, profitability-wise, we are getting into low profitable businesses. So, don't you think that's something that's not the
it
right?
It is low profitable, way, but then the volumes can be very high. So, for us, the idea is, if 10 gigawatt, seems to be going up 10 gigawatt, the whole idea is, if everything goes well, we want to take it to 40 gigawatt. That's what the plan, you know, we have submitted to Maharashtra government, you know, for the policy. So the idea is to scale it up. It's more of a volume game, you know. Even if you do a 5% EBITDA, but the moment you materialize with the volume, you know, you get the numbers against the investment. Against the investment. And right. Steel, we are very clear. We want to go ahead, but then we're not looking at a volume game. If we want to do value-added steel, which requires a certain higher capex compared to probably a commercial steel, but then we don't do a volume game. So if there's an opportunity, we felt right, and that's why we have, you know, diversified.
Got it. Got it. And lastly, whatever you know, tech, you will require a tech collaboration over here, right? And that will entail some royalties or some fees over there. How do you think about that? Is the margins after considering those?
Yes, it is. So right now, you know, we are very much open to do pick and choose, you know, best of these machines from the best suppliers. In the long-term basis, when we want to further backward integrate, say we want to sell. So we have also had discussions with a few companies on tech tie-up. The structure can be in form of equity or a royalty, you know, depends on the Chinese and Indian government law as well. So we are very much open. But for the 10 gigawatt, we are also okay doing, you know, pick and choose, you know, with the best suppliers. But it's a long-run story. It's a very long-run story. So it's not a short-term thing you're thinking of.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue and all the best.
Sure, Sahil. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder for the participant, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Aditya Welekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Again, on the battery electric storage front, so just wanted to understand, means we will be just in the EPC part of it, right? We will not be-
No.
Operating-
No. We won't be EPC part of it. Basically, we'll be suppliers of the container. So people who are bidding for tenders and they won the tenders, so they have been right now importing from China. So instead of importing from China, we can be one of the potential suppliers. So the container they are importing from China for 5 MW, Godavari New Energy will be one of the suppliers for the 5 MW container for the end use.
Understood. So, see, the context is, means we have seen the capacity fees for battery electric storage coming down from 10 lakh rupees per megawatt per month in August 2022, to currently it is almost 4 lakh rupees per megawatt per month.
Very, very, very correct.
So there is a steep fall because of the fall in the lithium battery prices. So there might be some pressure on the utility generators that they want to bid. So currently also the bids are very competitive. So in that context, our margins will be secured, right? Because we are just supplying parts.
Exactly. We're not entering into where we want to bid tenders. Basically, at whatever price, you know, somebody is winning the tender at, eventually, either he'll import from China or he'll buy from India, or he'll make his own containers. So we'll be one of the suppliers of containers. I mean, nothing to do with what price the tenders are going at. Nothing to do with that.
Understood, understood. And then, means, from that perspective, is there any possibility that, like, which we have seen for solar cells, that government has put that approved list of solar cells?
Exactly. It's called ALMM. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a DCR, basically a domestic content requirement for cell.
Exactly. Very, very correct. Very correct. Yes.
So, is there any possibility that for battery storage also, that the imports will be restricted from China and we have to manufacture the cells domestically?
See, as I said earlier, we have picked up this from the solar space as well. We do, you know, we also have this in mind. Moment India is able to, you know, manufacture the desired capacity, you know, where the demand is coming from the all these tenders, I am sure government policies will be framed in such a way that they will protect the domestic industry, the way they have done in case of solar cells, like solar modules and then cells. So we are hoping government will, you know, take a cue from this policy, and the same kind of policy will be implemented. But of course, provided enough capacity expansion happens in India in terms of manufacturing of these containers, then only government will come with such policies. So we feel we are one of the first movers, and in the longer run, we will be one of the beneficiaries of such policies.
Right. So means what I understand is that our margin will be protected irrespective of-
100%.
And then, from unit economics perspective, means you said that solar, definitely that the sales will be the major cost. So balance of plant, what will be the, means if you can just throw some light on CapEx and how much will be you will require for, in terms of working capital, means how much will be battery and then how much will be the steel. So apart from the battery-
I'll tell you. So cell is roughly, you know, so if you do a breakup of the entire container, so consider cost of, you know, $65. So out of which $65, $35 is about the cell, which will be imported. $20 is about the battery, the BMS, which is basically the battery management system, which is like, you know, the USP of technological suppliers. And the main $10 includes everything else, you know, your container steel, your fire protection and other accessories. So the breakup is 35 cells, 20 for the BMS, and then the remaining $10 is for your other accessories to make the entire container. This is, you know, a rough breakup.
Understood. And our ballpark margin is per container or
percentage? Worst case scenario today, you know, price of container is at 3.25 crore rupees, INR. So if you even consider a rough minimum margin of 5%, it gives you about 17-18 lakh rupees. So when you multiply that with 10 gigawatts, you know, it comes to, you know, close to 350 crore rupees, 370 crore rupees. So then investment of, you know, what we're doing right now, so we can see an RR of more than 40-50%.
Understood, understood. And this margin will be mostly fixed, right? I mean, if the raw material prices changes, we will be able to pass on.
Of course, yes. So whatever we import, if that goes up, say, domestic price can also go up. Demand is much more than the supplier. So when the selling price can also go up. So it will keep happening. You know, it's part of the business.
Perfect, sir. Thanks a lot. Thanks for answering the
question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinit Thakur from Plus 91 AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to know why is there a jump in the galvanized fabrication product on a year-on-year basis. As we see, last year we did around 13,000 tons and this year we did around 24,000 tons. What would be the guidance regarding this?
See, as you are aware, Mr. Gandhi also mentioned, we have received the part approval to supply into PGCL almost 3 months back, and now we have received the second part. So now, RS part, the galvanized product, is we have complete approval to supply into PGCL, because of which, you know, the volumes will further go on. You're comparing 13 to 23. I think from this quarter and next quarter onwards, you can see the volumes crossing 30,000 tons every quarter and quarter. Because since we have received the approval, so now we are eligible to supply to all the big EPC companies like Kalpataru, KEC, Tata, Adani. So because of that, and the demand, you know, keeps going up because the way, you know, the transmission lines have been laid into country. So the volumes will keep going up, and you can also see more healthy margins coming out of the galvanized product business now, after the approval we have received.
So are we looking to increase the capacity for galvanized fabrication products? Because our
now we are doing around... To be honest, you know, last month only we have received the final approval. So once we, you know, get established in the market, we are able to run the entire plant at full operations, say, for at least for 6 months, 8 months. And then only probably we'll think of investing in a new capex. You know, the idea is to first, you know, get the money back, whatever you invested in the last 2-3 years, and then probably think of investing into further.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vedant Sarda from Nirmal Bang PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I want to know the CRM complex project. We are targeting the capacity of 1.7 million ton. So what kind of margin we can expect from that?
We'll be looking at a margin of, say, 4 to 5 rupees per ton of the finished product. So we will not be restricted to one single product out of the CRM complex. We'll be making 3-4 different products. So one is the color coated line, one is printing line, then there is jam, which is basically a part of, you know, improved version of galvanized coating. So again, thickness from 0.15 to 3.5. So we want to enter into all kind of products of value addition, where the application is different. Some is in automotive, some is in household. So depending on the application, the idea is to have the entire cluster in the basket. And depending on demand and supply, we can always change the configuration of the output finished steel. The input remains 0.7 million ton, and we are targeting the EBITDA of, say, 4 to 5 rupees a ton.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Sukwani from Invest Group. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question was regarding the Moria Tipu mine. Basically, what is the current Fe grade with what we are getting from that mine? And what is the beneficiation yield? And what will be the cost of beneficiation?
Okay, so Boria, the current mining capacity we have is 0.7 million ton. The average grade in Boria is right now about 48 to 50. It's again, you know, a part of magnetite family. And so right now, since we don't have a plant in Boria mines, we're getting the entire ore in the plant and beneficiating. So here, the yield is about 50%-55% because the AC is on the lower side to maintain the, you know, quality of concentrate and, you know, pellet. And the cost is hardly, you know, 250 rupees. Beneficiation cost is not very high. It's very, very, very bare minimal. And just to update on Boria mines, we are further increasing the capacity. We have started working on filing the revised EC to the state government. So from 0.7 million, we'll be taking it to 3 million ton. And also putting up a plant inside the mine to beneficiate so that we do not, you know, pay extra transportation costs, which we are currently doing. So the idea is to beneficiate in the mine, make a high-grade concentrate, and directly bring it for use in the steel making. But that will take about 3 years. So the idea is to, you know, club the commissioning of Boria beneficiation along with the new steel plant, which is about 3 years from now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. And so, similar for BMQ. BMQ, what would be the yield and what would be the beneficiation cost?
See, the overall cost remains the same. Does that key in BMQ, because the AC is on the lower side, say 30-35, so the yield goes down to 40%. So see, calculate on input, basically the Boria mine, you can say a cost difference about 20%, because there the yield is 50%, here the yield is 40%. So 20% yield loss will increase your operating cost by 20%. That's it. Not a major difference.
Oh, sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit to one question per participant and rejoin the queue for the follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Divyanshu Kumar from Craving Alpha Wealth Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My question is related to the EPS, which has been dropped from dropped to 3.5 from 4.5 last year Q1. Could you explain what led to the drop in profit? Was it due to lower prices, higher cost, or something else? And also, what will be the estimate for the year? Thank you.
Dinesh ji.
See,
sorry.
The drop in profitability, as I had mentioned in my opening remark, is primarily because of the reduction in selling prices, fall in selling prices. Our volumes are more or less consistent. Maybe one quarter here and there, but overall, the fall in profitability in Q1 is mainly because of the fall in sales realization. Hello?
Thank you, sir. What's the estimate for the year?
Estimate for the year is very difficult to guide in the sense that since we are giving the volume guidance, it all depends on how the selling prices roll. But we believe that which we are expected to enter into the busy season, and prices have already started moving up. So this is what we believe, that it should be the benchmark. It should be, you know, better from here on. This is how we, you know, our understanding is, but it is very difficult to predict on the pricing side.
Okay. Thank you for the answer, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Sir, regarding this BSS, the tech transfer, are you open for is it like Japanese or Chinese? Because we have
No. To be honest, no. I think no one beats China in terms of technology quality is best. We have visited a lot of companies, and our tech transfer, of course, we will ensure whatever the Indian laws permit, how the tech transfer can happen, we will explore that. But whatever is going to come at the moment for best is going to come from China. According to us, nobody can be cheaper than China in terms of, you know, this technology. We are very sure of that.
But we have seen challenges with existing players where they tied up with Chinese and all, they are not able to scale up. So will there be some learning, or are you hopeful that it will go through smoothly?
See, because what we have understood as an industry is that the major tech, you know, tech goes into the cell making, which is, you know, probably you can say the heart of the entire business, right? So right now, we will be importing cells from various suppliers, for which we'll be doing some kind of tie-up. once that is sorted, remaining battery packs and containers, more like assembly. It's not a very, tech savvy, I would say, supply chain where, things can go wrong, if the tech transfer company is not performing as per the commitment. So the challenge is probably making sales for which we have to do a tech transfer or tech tie-up. But when it comes to assembly, we don't see, it's a very technical, tech savvy thing to do.
But this self-manufacturing, when do you plan to start and how much investment per megawatt or per gigawatt to require from your perspective?
See, to be honest, we haven't worked out because cell can only happen once, the policy with the Indian government, restricts import of cells into India. Because today, even if you want to make cells, you will never be able to, make money because the prices from Chinese are way lower because of the volumes. For example, I saw a single location of Chinese manufacturing where they were doing 20 gigawatt of cell manufacturing only for the battery, 20 gigawatt single location. So when you compare to that scale, it doesn't make sense at all to, enter into making cells right now. Better to import cells at a 5% duty and then do the remaining part. But we have the idea. We want to, provided we have to keep making money. The way it happened in solar. So earlier, 40% duty on solar modules, then government came, no duty, you can't import. It's banned now. That people start manufacturing in India. Now they have come up with same for cells now. Today cells are being imported from China, but from July 26, you can't even import cells for solar modules. So now people are starting investing into solar cells. So as industry progresses, technology keeps changing, we will also evolve. So that we don't get left behind in the race.
Is it like safe to assume like 3-4 years or maybe more away from the cell manufacturing?
100%. At least we don't see at least for next 2 or 3 years for sure. At least bare minimum 2 to 3 years, unless Indian government really comes up with a policy very soon, which we don't see happening because it is industry just started going in India. Now people are trying to understand what is best. So I think it's a long way to go. Yeah, to be honest.
Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Agarwal from FinAvenue. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Sir, I just wanted to know about the pellet pricing that we are forecasting for next 12 to 18 months with the kind of pellet capacity that is coming on in the market. Like Lloyds is also planning a major capex over there. We are increasing our capacity. So what pricing do we forecast?
Firstly, the price band for a commercial pellet of 62-63 LiPol, I feel it will be hovering, I would say 9500 plus minus 10%. So a range of say 87-88 to 10,000 rupees. That has been the trend in last 18 months as well. So I don't see any change. For example, last month, the pellet prices were as low as 86, 87 LiPol, and with, steel price going up by 10%, today pellet is about 98, 99x LiPol. So the price band remains intact, which is about, say, 85 to 10,000 rupees in the longer term. For Lloyds, they've already commissioned the pellet plant for information, but they haven't started targeting the LiPol market. What we understand is, they're also a big supplier of, iron ore fines into the LiPol market to different pellet players. So, If they do flood the rifle market with pellets, eventually the pellet prices will take a hit and that might prompt them to, keep away from the rifle market. Our capacity is being added to rifle market of 2 million. But you need to understand our capacity is being added with backup of iron ore mines. Today, if you tell me you want to put up a merchant pellet plant, where you have to buy fines in the market, I will not miss a single penny. Today, pellets, you cannot make money by, buying fines in the market. The whole idea is to, supply your own iron ore from your own mine and then make money. So I don't see a challenge in terms of pricing because of oversupply, because Lloyds is still away from this particular market and we will be the only addition. And right now there is a shortage of pellets in Raipur because the DRE capacity in Raipur has gone up at least 2x. So everybody who is also into steel making has, went into addition capacity of DRI. So right now today the pellets are in shortage in Raipur market. Other people are waiting. When will the plant get commissioned so that the demand and supply can be, come to the same level. So for me, a long-term basis, 9,000 to 10,000 rupees, ex-LiPol is very much achievable.
Yes, sir. Sir, and any plans on further blast furnace in our plants or on the new integrated steel plant, or it will be?
We have received the EC. We have plans, as I said earlier. But we're still working on the, you know, fine-tuning the CapEx. But it will be put up to board eventually once we get the mining EC. We're not going ahead with the steel plant unless we receive the mining EC. That is very clear as a management.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Pathak, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My question is on the container side of things. So you said there's going to be some kind of technology tie-up. So this battery typically requires cooling. So is the tie-up on the side you need to take care of the cooling aspects while designing the container, or it's something else?
No, it is. It is. So depending on your container weight, your container design, because the batteries can, the cells can be in series, can be in parallel. So cooling is another part. Fire protection is second part. The heart is, of course, the BMS, which is the entire battery management system for charge and discharge. And the last is the PCS. So basically, which will convert, you know, your AC to DC and DC to AC. You know, that's how you generate power in solar, right? You have to convert. So there are other components like PCS, like the cooling system, the fire system, and also the BMS. So apart from containers, these are also one of the critical components to make the entire container work, apart from cells. So as I said, right now, we are okay, you know, pick and choose model. If this is company supplies this bed, this supplies this bed. The same time, we're also exploring a tie-up for different things. For example, PCS. In India, there are three companies that are already into PCS. So we already started talking to them to supply PCS to us on long-term basis. So we are working, you know, with different companies for different supplies.
So, subsequent question is this, BESS will be our long-term strategy, or how is it?
It is a long-term strategy. It is a long-term strategy. We're not looking at, you know, 1 year, 2 years. We're looking at how the solar module industry evolved in the last 10 years. So we want to keep, depending on how industry evolves, we will have rank up our capacity as well. And if required, going forward, probably we also enter into solar, you know, the cell manufacturing, if the policies of government, you know, tells us to do that. So we are very open, and it's a long-term strategy, not a short-term strategy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manav Gogia from YES Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you once again for the opportunity. So my first question is much on the operational front. Can you give me what was the landed cost of imported coal for the particular quarter Q1?
It's about 11,000 rupees, 11,500.
Okay. And how is it shaping up in the next quarter? Do we see some benefits of the pricing falling?
Prices have come down by, you know, not much, I would say 5%. But, you know, if you see, dollar was 84, 85, now dollar is 87, 88. So that 5% down in the incoming prices, you know, has been taken aside by the dollar. So I would say 11,500 rupees for the Q2 as well as Q3 is a very practical number. 11,500 rupees.
Sure, sir. And so how are the realizations shaping up for the long products across the board? Do we see a flattish trend or a little uptick?
No, so see, to be honest, last month the demand was also very low, so that, and the prices also downside. But, you know, second half July, the demand has come back, and we are able to, you know, if from sponge to probably say finished steel, we are still able to do a margin of, you know, healthy margin of 7 to 8 rupees a yard, you know, depending on the demand. Because the volumes are not big. We hardly do 0.4 million tons of steel, 0.5 of billets. So the volumes are quite intact, as well as the pricing in terms of the retail level.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so
I would
much.
Say, thank you.
Yeah. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question for today.
Thank you.
I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us on this conference call, and appreciate the same. We are confident that we have adequately addressed all your queries. Should you have any further question or need additional information, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team at Go India Advisors. Once again, we sincerely thank you for all active participation and the unwavering support of the investors. Thank you very much. With this, we end this call.
Thank you. On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.